We're going to start in verse 21, and we're going to go down through verse 28 for our reading. 21 to 28, you can join with me on every other verse. I'll start with verse 21. After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, "After I have been there, I must also see Rome." So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. And the same time there arose no small stir about that way. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation, and said, "Sirs, ye know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth." And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this service thus far. Thank you for our visitor that's here with us today. Maybe some are visiting on the online service. We're grateful for them as well. Thank you that we have a place to meet as we've prayed. Thank you that we have this scripture and these wonderful hymns. Lord, it's truly a blessing to be in church on Sunday, and we're grateful for it. We pray for some that are not well today. I think of Ina today as she's recovering from this very extensive surgery that she had. I pray that you would raise her up, that the pain that she's been having would subside, and that she would be completely healed of this cancer. And there may be others as well that aren't able to come today because of health reasons, that you would strengthen them. Father, we pray that we would be emptied of ourselves, and whether we're speaking or listening, and that we would get the message that you have for us. There's a message for everyone in your word. I know this. I'm confident of that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. The theme of the message today is a post-revival riot. A post-revival riot. We talked about 2 weeks ago, I think it was, that we ended in verse number 20 of our text. Would you look at verse number 20 of our text, please? Where it says, "So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." We didn't read that earlier. I'm saying it's in the chapter that we were reading from. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. That is revival. That is revival. When God's word grows, there's going to be something that's going to happen. I wrote this down. When the word of God dominates, results will follow. And by the way, the power of the Word of God hasn't changed. It's still powerful. But here's what limits God in my life. Me. God is ready to do so much in my life, but I'm the one that limits Him sometimes. You know what limits God in my life? A lack of faith. A lack of faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin, the Bible says. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so it isn't that the Bible is lacking power in 2021. Oh, the Bible is all powerful. It's God breathed, right? This is God's word. The important thing is that I'm letting it prevail in my heart. I'm letting it dominate my life. I'm letting it build in me. We read this in Acts in previous chapters. Look at Acts chapter 6. If you hold your place in Acts 19, we'll be back there in a moment. Acts chapter 6 in verse number 7. And just so we're all remember, the book of Acts, it's a book of transition. Remember, we've said that over and over again. Also, the book of Acts is the beginning of the church. The first church, if you will. Now, we're not just in Jerusalem. It spreads from there, and now we're in Ephesus. But this is the very beginning of the church. It's still in its infancy, if you will, as it's spreading from city to city. But look what it says in verse number 7 of Acts chapter 6. And the word of God, what happened to the word of God? It increased. That's a good thing. And when the word of God increased, look what happened. And the number of the disciples multiplied. So when the word of God increased, guess what happened? More people got saved. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How are we going to reach Burnaby for Christ? We've got to get the gospel out there. We've got to get the Bible out there. It's why we have the door hangers. Take some with you today. Hand them out. Put them on some doorknobs. Give them to people. It's why we do the gospel mail advance. Over the last 2 years, over a quarter of a million pieces of gospel literature, 250,000 gone out into our community. There's still many more that need to go out. But when the word of God is advancing, what happens is people get saved. Results come through the gospel. Results come through God's word. Not so we can say, good job, church, so that we can say, glory to God. It's all for God's glory. And so that's what happened. The disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. They didn't just multiply, they multiplied greatly. Wouldn't you like to have some of that? I'd like to have some great multiplication. Things happen a lot faster when you start multiplying numbers. If you want to have math class, we can have math class today. No? Okay, let's stick with the Bible. We'll just have Bible class, okay? But that's the numbers get a lot higher, a lot faster. Notice what it says. And the priests and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. God's word goes forth. We obey God's word. Great things happen. Look at chapter number 12, please. Chapter number 12, quickly. We see the same thing. In Acts 12 and 24, the Bible says about this early church, but the word of God, two things. It grew and multiplied. It grew and multiplied. When I read things like this, it's not, I don't read it just for the historical value, although it has historical value. When you read things like this, here's how we want to read it. I want that for me. I want God to grow in me. And you know what happens when God's word grows in me? Guess what happens? Sin gets pushed out. The flesh gets pushed out. We have three enemies really wrapped up in one: the world, the flesh, and the devil. One devil, one enemy, but he uses all kinds of tools, right? So my flesh is still against me. My flesh still wants to do what I want to do, not what God wants me to do. But the more I put of this into me, the less I'll listen to me, and the more I'll listen to God. So when I read that, I think that's what we need. That's what Anchor Baptist Church needs. That's what the pastor needs. That's what every member needs. We need God's word to grow and multiply. That's what happened here. Let's go back to Acts 19. Mightily grew the word of God, and it prevailed. I would say that the church at Ephesus was experiencing a mighty moving of God. A mighty moving of God. And again, let's not read this and think, oh, man, it's too bad we couldn't have that. We can have that. We can have a mighty moving of God. We can be prosperous. We can be successful. Joshua writes about it. Let's go back there. Joshua 1. Hold your finger in Acts and turn back to Joshua. This is a verse that you need to mark. You need to mark this verse. It's marked me many times. Joshua 1:8. Maybe we could read it together out loud, okay? Are you there? If you're there, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Got a little bit louder, okay? If you're still turning, say wait, pastor. Not too many on that. That's a tough one, huh? Sorry. Okay, Joshua 1:8, let's read it. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. All tied into the Word of God. All tied into not only reading it, notice what it says there, Not just meditate, not just reading it, not just meditating it, but then doing it. It's great to read God's word every day. It's better to read God's word and meditate every day, but it's best to read, meditate, and obey God's word every day. So that's what's happening here in Acts chapter 19. And so I know we can have that in our own lives even today. The first half of this chapter, Paul is preaching. It's about 2.5 years of time that his work is there in Ephesus. While he's in Ephesus and working and church planning and preaching, he's also having a little bit of time to take out his pen and write one of the epistles that God had him write. It's the book of 1 Corinthians. The book of 1 Corinthians. And so it's being written as well. God's work advances. The work of God advances. People get serious about God. Then guess what happens? Opposition comes. It's been all through Acts so far. Sometimes, amazingly, isn't it amazing that we've even seen the opposition in Paul's life has been from the religious crowd? The high priest, the Jewish people of the day, not labeling all Jewish people, but the Jewish leaders of the day. So sometimes when we want to strive for the Lord, sometimes it comes from the religious crowd. Sometimes it comes from the political crowd. Sometimes it comes from the materialistic crowd. And that's what we find here in Acts 19. Money. Somebody was not happy because it was starting to affect their pocketbook. All right? Or a wallet. Right? It was starting to hit the bottom line, as we say in finance. Even Demetrius said it to his group of people that he got together. He said, guys, you know that our wealth is in this. We got to stop this. That's exactly what happens here in this particular chapter. We'll get to that in just a minute. The goal of the enemy is to stop every work of God. Every work of God. But we have also seen in our study of the book of Acts, and history has also taught us this through the history of the church, that as the church is persecuted, the church thrives. I'll tell you this, as the Christian is comfortable, it's very dangerous. You know, I really think at the beginning of this last 2 years that we've been in, when everything kind of came to a screeching halt, it became very comfortable to sit on a couch and watch a church service. And I'm not being unkind to anyone who's sitting on their couch right now. Watch it. You say, wow, he could see through the camera. I'm on my couch right now. No, I'm just saying that got really comfortable. And we were over here and this side over here, and we had just a little studio set up for months. We didn't know. That's all we could do. And it got really comfortable, you know, just sitting there and watching and sitting there. And I'm not saying we should have done it different. That's all we knew what to do. But we need to be very careful, because comfortable is really a cautious time. And comfortable can lead to a lot of problems. And comfortable can lead to a routine that gets us away from God, not closer to God. And the church is proof of that, that when the church went through difficulties, they thrived. When the church went through challenges, remember the first church was getting so big, and then God brought persecution to the church at Jerusalem, and away they went. And that's why we have the church at Ephesus that we're talking about right now, was because of challenges, because of difficulties. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8, I'm going to read it for you, you may turn there if you like, but 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble. This is Paul writing to the church in Corinth about the trouble in Ephesus. He said, we would not have you ignorant about our trouble came to us in Asia. He said that we were pressed out of measure. You know what? I do need us to turn there, because God had me read a little more in the first service than were in my notes. So let's quickly go over there. 2 Corinthians. I think the introduction today is about a third as long. It's almost a whole third of the message, so don't get nervous on me. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's look at these together quickly. So this is written from Ephesus. So it's the theme is where we're at right now in Acts, but So he says, we would not be, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we even despaired, of our life. Look at verse 9, please. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in who? Ourselves. They're going through a difficult time, and Paul says, it got so bad that we thought we were going to die, but we stopped trusting in ourselves. We said, no, I'm dying to myself. I think that's what that means there. When he says that we had a sentence of death in ourselves, it means he died to self. Wasn't it Paul who said, we need to die daily? And he said, so we stopped trusting in ourselves, but in God. Verse 9, but in God, which raiseth the dead. Verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death. Are you glad you're on your way to heaven this afternoon? Are you glad you're on your way to heaven? If you're saved and you know it, then you're on your way to heaven. Praise the Lord for that. God delivered you from death. What kind of death? Spiritual death. Revelation 20, 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. It's what I deserve. It's what you deserve. It's what you deserve. It's what you deserve online. We all deserve to die and go to hell. But by the grace of God, we can be brought to new life in Christ. He said we were delivered from that. So God has delivered us from future death. If you don't know Christ as Savior, oh my, that's the greatest decision you need to make. Don't put it off. Don't delay. This old ticker can stop ticking and you'll never know when it's coming. And when it stops ticking, that's it. No more chances to come to Christ. Don't put it off. And Paul says, he delivered us from death and he doth deliver. I like that word, doth deliver, those two words. He's not done delivering. When you read the Bible, remember, it's not just a historical reference. It's for us to apply to today. Notice what he says at the end of verse 10. In whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. I believe God is in the business of delivering. He's in the business of saving lives. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's our God. And so now, let's go back to our text. But this is what's happening. God is doing amazing things. And now there's somebody in town that says, well, wait a minute. We don't like this. All right? Number one, we have the causes of the riot. The causes of the riot, because that's what happens here. A riot takes place. Verse 23, Acts 19, 23. And the same time. So while all of this is God's doing a great work, people are getting saved, at the same time, this isn't to put fear into us, but it's to make us aware that while we're charging the gates of hell, at the same time, the enemy is also aware of that. But notice what it says here. There arose no small stir about that way. That statement there, about that way, means it's talking about they were stirred up over the way Paul was preaching. What was the way Paul was preaching? It says it right here. Okay, look at verse number 26. Moreover, ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people. Was it Paul that turned them away? Was it Paul that persuaded them? It was the message of Paul. What was the message of Paul? It was the message of God. It was truth. It was that, what does it say? That they be no gods which are made with hands. Paul's message was, you here in Ephesus, you have this beautiful temple to the great goddess Diana, which is one of the seven wonders of the world even today. He said, you have this great temple here. He says, I want to tell you, God cannot be made with hands. And there was a big business going on. Okay? There was a big business going on in making silver shrines. Demetrius was one who was making them. So this is the way I kind of think about it. It's kind of like a souvenir shop for worshiping Diana. And in that souvenir shop, there would be silver shrines, maybe a replica of Diana. There would be maybe a replica of the temple itself. And they would, while they traveled there from all over Asia, they would go into all of these silversmith stores, and obviously there was big business. And he says it. Look what he says. Look what he says in verse 25. This is Demetrius, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, "Sirs, ye know that by this craft, that means making these silver shrines, building these little trinkets, you know, whenever we used to travel all over the world, we would go to places, and when you would come home, you would bring a souvenir." Yeah. We have souvenir shops in Vancouver. You know, dollar stores have souvenirs in Vancouver, you know. I went and picked up a few things yesterday for Lisa, who's coming from the United States. She's coming to the missions conference, and to kind of, you know, give her a postcard and a keychain and a the standard things. But so in the same idea, when they would go there, it wasn't about a vacation. It was about a pilgrimage to worship a false god. What was happening is they were coming to Ephesus, and it wasn't the same as it was last year. This year, there was this loud preacher who was saying that God is not made with hands, that God, the goddess of the Ephesians, is false, and there's only one true God. And time after time after time, people were saying, you know what? He's right. And they were turning to the message of the gospel through the Apostle Paul, which meant what? It meant that, as the Bible says there in verse number 26, it said that they turned away. What is that? What is turned away? That's repentance. They turned away from following a false god and turned to the one true God. And because they did that, the money that they were giving to the Demetriuses of the world, we don't know if this is the same Demetrius that's mentioned later in the Bible, that said, Paul said about him, "He hath done me great harm." I don't know. I can't confidently say it's the same one. It might be. But he noticed at the end of a week of sales that, whoa, something's wrong here. The sales are way down. We got to do 2-for-1 or 3-for-1 or something. I don't know what's going on. And the next week, the numbers came in and they were even lower. And so what was the cause of the riot? Well, the cause of the riot was that the gospel was taking away some of the wealth. I would say this, the ill-gotten gain at the expense of the people. And Demetrius fired up all the rest of them, didn't he? He got them together in this meeting. And the Bible even makes it so clear that it might have even totally bankrupt his business. Now, when you start taking away somebody's livelihood, they start to get a little upset about it. Whether it's ill-gotten or not ill-gotten, but this way it'd be a way we wouldn't condone. As I thought about this, I tried to bring it into 2021. I don't know of any places today that are building shrines to Diana. But I begin to think about this. How much of a blessing it would be if certain businesses in the greater Vancouver area would dry up completely. How is this going to happen? I'll tell you how it's going to happen. We need bold believers and we need bold churches. Let's go back to Joshua. I didn't have Joshua 1:8 in my notes today, but I just want you to know that God, when he wants you to know, to see something, he's going to let it be known. I give God all the glory for that. But I think Joshua 1:8 and 9 go perfectly with this text in Acts chapter 19. Look what it says in Joshua 1:9. Please. Let's let the word of God speak to us. Are you with me there? I don't want you to miss it. We won't read it out loud, but I'll read it. All right, here we go. Follow along. Have not I commanded thee? Now, I'll tell you what's happened here is Moses has died. Moses. Leader. You know, think of leadership in the Bible. Moses, right? Not perfect, but a leader. He's gone. What are we going to do now? Have not I commanded thee? What has he commanded thee? It's right there. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not what? Afraid. Be not afraid. Hey, church, 2021, be not afraid. Be strong. Be courageous. Not in ourselves. Not in our certificates. Not in our accomplishments. That's not why we're strong. That's not why we're courageous. The Bible tells us why we should not be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. The Lord thy God is with thee in 2021 whithersoever we go. The Lord our God is with us at Anchor Baptist Church whithersoever we go. We need boldness and we need courage in 2021 to get out into these communities that we live in and continue to spread the gospel message. God laid this on my heart. It would be a blessing if every bar in this entire area would close. That would be a blessing. Because it does no good for the community in which it's in. It only brings destruction. Every liquor store would close. It would be a blessing. Every single one of them. Why? Because there's nobody to buy the liquor. By the way, may God's people not be buying that stuff. It only brings destruction. That's exactly what happened right here. Their income was going down and they got fired up about it. If every casino closed, oh, what a blessing that would be. Oh, Pastor, what do you mean? No, none of these places are for God's people. None of these things are for God's people. The addiction of them and all of that goes along with it. If every nightclub would close because there's no business to keep them from profiting, it would be a blessing. But we don't. I'm not saying we're going to focus on these. We're going to picket in front of them. We're going to do anything. We're not talking about violence or anything like that. The focus isn't really that. I'm just mentioning this because God laid it on my heart. The focus is what Paul was doing, preaching the gospel. Because the gospel is what changes lives. It was the gospel who changed the lives of the people of Ephesus that they stopped worshiping the goddess Diana because the Holy Spirit of God worked through the gospel. And the Holy Spirit of God can work through a drug addict. And the Holy Spirit of God can work through and let them know, hey, you got to quit doing this. I'm saying that's what I mean by working through them. And the Holy Spirit of God can bring conviction to an alcoholic and set them free from that. And it'd be great if every drug dealer in this area had no more business. It'd be awesome if that were happening. And it can happen. It can happen through the power of the Word of God that can blaze through all of these alleys and blaze through all of these cities and streets here in our cities in the Vancouver area. I heard a statistic again the other day about how many people had overdosed. I don't remember if it was in a month's time or whatever. And I know we're in a pandemic, and I know it's really difficult, and I know that so many people have died. But I'll tell you, I think way before the pandemic, we already had a huge problem here. And the huge problem here was drugs, alcohol, promiscuity, gambling, all of these things that God's Word tells us should not be a part of our lives. And I'm telling you today, the cause for the riot in Acts 19, I'm not saying we want to cause people to riot, but what we want to do is our message from God should stir the conscience of our communities. To get right with God, not because of us, but because of this book. This city was on an uproar. Why? Because one man and others with him preaching the truth. Well, the situation in our cities is no different than it was in here. And in fact, it's the same, but it's just in a different way, maybe. It comes back to 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. This is the problem in Acts 19. They're taking our wealth. It's the problem today, too. The love of money is the root of all evil. Chains of addiction can be broken by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are many other places that represent the gods of our society, and they are all driven by a love for money. Of course, we didn't even talk about the things online that people pay to see that are wicked and godless. May every one of those websites, may they all go bankrupt. They've damaged lost people and they've damaged believers. The truth today is not to attack necessarily these things. Yes, we need to mention them. We need to make sure we warn about them. But what do we need is to continue to lift this high. Because the truth sets us free. So that's the causes of the riot. Number two. Well, let me give you this. I want to give you this quickly. It is the church that should be the conscience of the community. You probably don't remember this, and I vaguely remember this, that there was a day when everything was closed on Sundays. I'm not on a hobby horse today, okay? I'm not on my soapbox, I'm just saying, what's changed? Well, there's a lot, but I'll tell you, I think part of the problem is not the world, part of the problem is the church. Christians like me, I'm part of the problem. Sometimes I'm apathetic. Sometimes I'm careless. I need to be diligent in this book and diligent in how I'm living my life. May God once again help the church to thrive in the community. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. The same message Paul preached in Ephesus needs to be preached all over Burnaby. So, number two, the characteristics. What are the characteristics? Well, we see that in this riot, not everyone even knew what they were doing there. Look, please, with me in verse number 32. Some therefore cried one thing. Acts 19:32. Some therefore cried one thing, some another. And they weren't all on the same page. They just got caught up in it. It says that, verse 32, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not whereof they were come together. You know, why am I holding this sign? Please arrest Paul. Why am I even holding this sign? That's kind of what was happening. I don't think they had signs, but that's what it's saying there. It was a large, out-of-control mob, and they were shouting for 2 hours. Great is Diana of the Ephesians. You see that in verse number 34. Out of control. Demetrius stirred the whole thing up from the very beginning. Alexander tried to speak. He was overrun. And by the way, that's what we see even in our day. I think some people don't even know the truth. They don't even know what God has for them. They don't even know the love of God. We read about it in 1 John 4. And they're just being swept along in this world like a stream. They're just being swept along. They don't know that there's a different way to live. They don't know that there's a God in heaven who created them and loves them and has a great purpose for their life. And they get to a place where they just think, there's no purpose for me, so I'm out of here. They take their life. Or they get involved in something else simply because someone else, they don't even know why they're there. They don't even know why they're at this party. And while they're at this party, people are doing things and they become one of them. They're doing these things and they need to know the message of the love of God. Characteristics of this riot. Look at verse 30 and 31, please. I see something quite challenging here. When Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. They were in a theater of sorts. Verse 29 tells us that, and it kind of the riot kind of ended there in a theater, and they wanted something to happen, and they had gained momentum. And it says there that the disciples wouldn't let Paul go in there. But look at verse 31. I think this is something. I want you to pray with me about this. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his what? Friends. These are elected officials in Ephesus. I don't necessarily believe they were all believers, but the Bible says they were friends. We must be praying. We must be praying for our elected officials. And I'd like to reach out to them, and I want you to pray with me about that. I would like to do a better job reaching out to them as a church and saying, Mr. Julian, Peter Julian, he's a MP in our area. We're praying for you at Anchor Baptist Church. Is there anything we can pray specifically? Do you have time that we can meet and have a cup of coffee or whatever? And just reach out. Because here, what happens here is this. Paul has built a relationship with elected officials in Ephesus to the point where they don't want Paul to go into that theater because they know what might happen to him. Look what it says in verse 31. They sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. He had built a rapport with these people, these elected officials. The Bible calls them the chief of Asia. I'm not a politician. I'm not saying I'm going to be one. I'm just saying, though, I believe there is something there that arrests my attention anyway. One more thought. Number three, the calming of the riot. The calming of the riot. Verse 35, and when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana? He's saying, there's no one, hey, he's saying to the mob, he's saying, hey, listen, everybody knows that we all worship Diana, which wasn't true, but he's trying to diffuse the moment. He's trying to put out the passion, if you will. And of the image which fell. Verse 36, seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against. No one's going to stop it. Oh boy, I tell you what, the Bible doesn't tell us the name of the town clerk. But little does he know the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May we keep our eyes focused on the gospel of Jesus Christ. But God used this town clerk for a purpose. And by the way, turn with me quickly to Proverbs 21. Turn with me, please, to Proverbs 21. There was a reason why this town clerk stood up and said something, because in this day, the people that were in charge were the Romans. The Romans. The Romans were known to have order. And when there wasn't order, like this riot, they would come in and deal with it the Roman way. And that's why this town clerk, I believe, stands up and says, look, stop. Let's be reminded of something. Look at Proverbs 21:1, please. See what it says? The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. You know this? God can use our prime minister in whatever way he wants to use him, because his heart is in the hand of God. He can turn it any way he wants. I think it'd be a good thing to pray, not only that he gets saved. I don't think our prime minister is saved. We need to pray that he gets saved. And then the second thing that we've kind of prayed a bit as we've prayed together is, God, use him to accomplish your will. You say, he can use him to accomplish it. Yes, he can. Check out all the kings in the Old Testament. They didn't all kind of line up with fearing God. And God used them to accomplish his will. And you know what? Some of what God is using, possibly current prime ministers and presidents around the world, is to bring a level of persecution. Because remember, when persecution comes, the real church thrives. The real church is humble. The real church knows that God loves them and will not allow anything to come in that help them to be able to get out of. 1 Corinthians 10:13, our last verse. Let's look over there quickly. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Thank you for your attention. I pray that God's Spirit is helping make the application from this text today, this event that God allows us to see. God can and will use whomever and whatever he will to accomplish his will. God allowed this to happen in Ephesus for a purpose. 1 Corinthians 10:13, again, the Apostle Paul writing. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. You don't have this underline in your Bible. I would underline it, or I would at least make note of it. But God is faithful. God is faithful. 2021, God has been faithful. 2020, God was faithful. 2019, we could go on and on and on until the very day you were born. God was, is, and always will be faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Times of distress, let's be faithful to the Lord. Times of rest, we all need, let's be faithful to the Lord. The proclaimed word of God, this brings us all the way back to the 20th verse, so mightily grew the word of the Lord. The proclaimed word of God will give progress to the gospel, but it will also give persecution from our enemy. This will always be the case. Satan uses anything and everything to stop the preaching of the word of God. May we today be reminded to be of good courage. For the Lord our God is with us whithersoever we go. May we be the conscience. May we ask God to help us to be the conscience of our community. That our community would know the love of Christ. The love of Christ will do so much for someone who's bound in sin. Set all of us free. Only the love of Christ could set a person free.